Thank you for all you do. You've brought me through. When I look around and see where I've been, you've been a friend. Glory,
honor,
exaltation,
all power,
power,
blessing,
and
worship.
Love without end, you've been a friend. Shadow of your wings.
When I look around,
to bear. All we have to do is take it to the Lord in prayer.
Oh, what a friend I have in you.
Oh, what a friend I have in you, Jesus. You sit closer than a brother.
Worship.
Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. What a mighty God. How worthy. How worthy is God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you really love him with all your heart, let's stand to our feet and give him praise and magnify his name tonight and cause him to be lifted up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We magnify your name, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. We bless your name, oh Lord. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday night. And we've already had 47 different kinds of church. And a wonderful move of God. It's great to come and be refreshed and to tank up and to be ready to walk out. We don't have a disconnect between Sunday and Monday in the Apostolic Church. But we walk this thing. We live this thing on Monday. And we live it on Tuesday. And we live it before God. Not in religion, but we live it in relationship. And we know that God is with us on Thursday afternoon. And we live accountably before him. Praise God. We're going to read this evening from Joel chapter 3. And Amos chapter 8. And we're moving out of the book of Joel and into the book of Amos, making our way through the Old Testament. Joel chapter 3 and verse 18, and then Amos chapter 8. Wonderful presence of God in the house tonight. Joel 3 and 18, everyone saying, it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. A fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of the acacias. Well, praise God. Everybody say, a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord. Now, this is a commentary on the millennial. And this is after Armageddon, which takes place in that same chapter. And death and destruction and the darkening of the sun and the moon turning to blood and the terrible day of the Lord. But then God's going to put it all back together again. And central to that idea is this fountain, this river running out of the house of God. Chapter 8 in Amos, and beginning with verse 11. And Amos, the farmer, shepherd, herdsman, prophet, says, behold, the days come, in verse 11, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And in that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. But he's already said, it's not a famine of bread. And he's already said, it's not a thirst for water. But it's for the word of the Lord. And in that day the fair virgins and the young men shall faint for thirst. But not thirst for natural water. They're thirsty for God. They're thirsty for a move of God. They're thirsty for what has been moving in this house all day. For what was here before we gathered together. We show up early on Sunday mornings about 7 o'clock. And it's no surprise to me when I walk in the door. There's the welcoming presence of God already hovering, already abiding, already waiting. Because he knows this is a place where people come and fellowship him in spirit and in truth. And if you don't think God is interested in that, well, you don't know God. But God is looking. He is seeking. God is a spirit and he is seeking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. I thank God for what's in this house tonight, and I thank God for what's available, and I thank God that even though there's a famine in the land, a want of the bread of the Word of God and the water of the God's moving of His Spirit, that in this house, that this is a little oasis and your house is a little oasis and the world can come and take refuge and find food to eat and water to drink in a spiritual sense. Everybody say praise the Lord. God bless you. If you love His Word, why don't you sit and clap your hands and lift up a praise unto God for His Word. It's forever settled in the heavens. We magnify You, O God. We lift up Your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Amos 4 and 7. And this theme is throughout the Word of God. Amos 4 and 7. I've withholden the rain from you. And there were 3 months to the harvest. I caused it to rain on one city. And caused it not to rain on another city. And one piece was rained on. And the piece whereupon it rained not withered. And God strategically looses the moisture from heaven. Both in a natural sense, but I want to tell you tonight that all things natural point to or indicate things in the spirit. Amos chapter 5 and verse 24, and I can't read this without hearing Dr. Martin Luther King, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. And the metaphor there is that the power of God in judgment, it comes down like waters. Everybody say like waters. And righteousness like a mighty stream. The things of God, the moving of God, the qualities that are important for us from God, they come to us like waters coming down from the heights of a mountain range. Amos chapter 8 and beginning in verse 11 is our text. And there's a famine in the land. And there's a thirst. But it's a thirst for the things of God. And in this place they've turned their back on God. This is a letter to Israel and Judah. Amos also concerns judgment upon all the surrounding nations. But there's judgment on Judah and judgment on Israel. And there's a famine here now. But it's a spiritual famine. And there's a thirsting now, a drought, but it's a spiritual drought. And he says the young men and the virgins are fainting for thirst. Somebody has closed up the portal. Somebody has walked away from God. God has turned his shoulder to this people. And they thought they could be filled with the things of the world. And they thought they could be quenched with the things outside the kingdom of God. But now that they've got themselves all entwined with the pagan realities of the world around them, God is not only drying up the land in a natural sense, but he's drying up the land in a spiritual sense. And when the plague of God came in the book of Joel, he said before that plague of locusts, the judging army of God, the land was like the Garden of Eden. And after it, it was like a place where fire has scorched the land. There is a blessing in living in an and under the presence of God. There's a blessing in being involved with the Word of God. The good things of God come down when you're faithful. The good things of God surround you when you're faithful to the Word of God. The good things of God are worth more than anything this world has to offer. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches. My God, I've been abased and I have abounded. But I'm telling you, the quality that makes life worth living is a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, somebody say praise God. If it's true, shout amen. If it's true, give your neighbor a high five and say God is better than anything in this world. Do you believe that tonight? Praise God. Praise God. And so the qualities of God, and we know that water is one of the pattern types and consistent types for the Spirit of God all throughout the Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 47, we studied this not long ago, and this is the vision of the prophet and the man with the measuring rod in his hand, and he sees coming out of the temple of God a stream flowing out. Afterward, 47 and 1 of Ezekiel. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. And this is that sequence where he sees waters, and they are ankle deep, and then they're to the thighs, and then they're waters to swim in, and then they're waters that cannot be passed over. And this is a type of the flowing of the Spirit of God, not in this day of Ezekiel, but in a day that's coming in the millennial and in the restoration of Israel. But it's the typology of how the Spirit of God flows from places wherein He is enthroned, flowing down out of the heaven, flowing down out of the heights, and in this passage, flowing out of the house of God. Everybody say, where He is enthroned. Listen, there's a river flowing there. And here's the quality that is most attractive to us. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. This is the passage where he says there's going to be fishing at En-Gedi. And En-Gedi is a little settlement in the barren wasteland on the edge of the Dead Sea. And there haven't been fish there for as long as men can remember. But there's going to be fish there. At the millennial, there's going to be an opening, a changing of topography, and the breaking forth of the waters of the deep. And in this vision, the Word of God through the prophet said it's going to come from the house of God, and it's going to change the whole world. And there's going to be fish at En-Gedi, and fishing at En-Gedi, and things that didn't have life before are going to have life because they are exposed to this flow that comes from the house of God, or if you would, that comes from a place where God is enthroned. Revelation chapter 22, and John sees the throne of God. And in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Everybody say, the river came from the throne of God. And on either side of the river, there were these marvelous trees. And these trees were the tree of life and the fruit of healing. And it was for the healing of the nations. And where this water flows, there is healing. Has anybody felt better just by being in the presence of God tonight? Have you ever come into the house of God sick in your body, but by the time you left, you were feeling better? Have you ever come burdened and bowed down under the pressure of your life, but when you come into the presence of God, the burdens lift off your shoulder, everything gets into perspective? I begin to feel better just by being in the presence of God. I'm not drinking out of a glass, but I'm drinking. My spirit is soaking up. I'm soaking up a blessing. I'm soaking up strength. The river of God is in a place where God is enthroned. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8 is almost the same passage as Joel and as Amos. It's about the millennial, and it's about the coming of the Lord. And immediately it shifts from the coming of the Lord and Armageddon into the millennial reign. Zechariah 14 and 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Everyone say living waters from Jerusalem. See, the living waters aren't flowing out of Jerusalem right now because Jesus is not enthroned in Jerusalem, but he's coming back. I said he's coming back, and he's going to be enthroned there. And when he is enthroned there, the living waters are going to flow. Matter of fact, wherever God is enthroned, living water flows out of that place. Well, praise God. Do any of you believe that? Everybody say living waters. What does it do? Well, it gives life to dead things to begin with. It refreshes those that are weary. It is the answer to the lament there in Amos where it says the young men and the fair virgins are fainting for thirst. I want you to know where you've got a flow of the Spirit of God and the living water of God. The young men and the ladies, they don't have to go out to a bar room to try to quench the thirst. They don't have to go out to a crack house. They don't have to go and taste the things of the world because there's something that flows down from God that is better. My God, is there anybody in here that can say, I've been delivered and what I have now is better than what I had then? Can there anybody say, I used to drink at the bar, but now I drink at Joel's bar. Now I drink the new wine. Oh God, tell me, is it better? Somebody tell me, is it better? Somebody tell me, do you want to go back? Would you rather go back and have that again? I don't need what the world drinks. I've got something from God, and it's better. And it's better. My God, this is better. I don't know where you came from. Born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Born in the lap of luxury. Everything came your way and life was so good. You don't understand where I came from. You don't know the dark places that I crawled up out of. You don't know the things that I tried before I came to God. But I'm here to tell you, innocent child, I've come to tell you that God is better. And the living water has the power to quench the thirst of a hungry soul. Help me. Don't reason. Don't discuss. Don't debate. Just help me. Give it something. Fill the house with it. Let me see their bodies go when she strikes it. Okay. Everybody say, what we need is living water. What we need is the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to spend a long time on tying up the loose ends for you, but we need a move of God. There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land, and the young men are fainting, and the fair virgins are fainting, but we need a moving of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, Holy Ghost. No, don't say Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the moving of it. We need the flowing of it. And in all the instances that I've given you, that river flows from where God is enthroned in Jerusalem in the millennial, in the throne of God in heaven, from the temple in the vision of the prophet. Everywhere that God is enthroned, that river flows. It comes right out of him. And it goes. You notice he said, I caused it to rain on that place and not on that place. I had rain over here, no rain over there, water over here, no water. God strategically causes that to flow where he wants it to flow. It doesn't just flow anywhere. It doesn't just flow anywhere. I talked to some dear friends this morning. They just been out of town. They went and visited a former apostolic church, but it's not doing very well at being apostolic anymore. And they've thrown some things out, and they've let some things down, and they've turned some things loose, and they've tried to contemporize their church, and they've tried to make their church relevant to their world and their culture. But I want you to know, you can't get it that way. You can't have it that way. The only way you're going to get what you won't is to enthrone God. You've got to enthrone God. He said, let judgment come down like waters, and let righteousness be like a mighty stream. You have to take him for everything that he is. If he's holy, you've got to enthrone holiness. If he likes worship, you've got to enthrone worship. If this is his word, you've got to enthrone the word of the living God, because where God is enthroned, the river flows. Where God is enthroned, the living waters flow. My God, there's healing in it. There's healing in it. You can get healed in a service like this just by lifting up your hands and magnifying God. Sister Cynthia Threat, I don't see her tonight. She was here this morning. And when she came in like this. And as soon as she sat down by Sister Holder, she asked if I'd pray for her. She said, I've got a pinched nerve in my neck. She told my wife I'm supposed to go to the doctor and get in traction, and they're going to work on that pinched nerve. And if you've ever had one in your neck or your shoulder, you know how sweet that traction can be and can make you feel. And we prayed for her early on in the service. But at the end of the service, there was a little lady standing right here. Since Cynthia came and prayed for her that she might receive the Holy Ghost. And she said, when the Holy Ghost began to flow on her, God began to move on me. And she said, look at me, look at me, look at me. My neck's not hurting me anymore. I'm not bound up by that anymore. There is healing. There's healing in it. There's healing in it. There's strength in it. There's a blessing in it. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. Nothing else to do. We don't need to learn the lessons of the world. We don't need to imitate the world. We don't need to look where the Philistines are going or where the Canaanites are going. But we need to get a grip on enthroning God. My God, where God is enthroned. Living water. Praise God. Somebody say praise God. God does stuff at places where there's water. Moses met Zipporah at a well. And Isaac got his wife, the servant found her, at a well. And Jacob found lovely Rachel at a well. And when Isaac came home, the old pagans had said, we got to get these people out of here. These people of God. And I know the way we can get them out of here. We're going to fill up their wells. When Isaac came home, he found the wells filled up with rocks and dirt. And Isaac, the Bible said, began to redig the wells. Because he said, I got to have the flow in my life. Got to have a flow. And when he dug it, the enemy came and contended with him for it. And he dug another, and they contended with him for that. They don't want you. There's something that doesn't want you to have this flow. There's something that hates this flow of God. They don't mind you coming to church. They don't mind you folding your hands. They don't mind you having a little religion. They don't mind you sitting dead like wood on the big brown chair. What are you being? I'm being a seasoned preacher. And if you really get me going, I might give you that. There's something that hates the flow of the Spirit of God. He's going to try to put so much on you that you can't enthrone God, that you enthrone your problems. I got so many problems. That's all that's on my mind. It's all that moves in my heart. That's what possesses my daily thinking. And everything I do is revolving around my problems. If that happens, then he's taken Jesus off the throne and he's put your problems on your throne. Or he'll put some boy on your throne. Now you hear me. You hear me good. I like Martine. I've been teaching him Bible study for a long time. But you just tell him this. You tell him there's only room solamente para uno en mi corazón. Solamente Jesús. Es la verdad. That's right. I only got room in my heart for one man. And that man is Christ Jesus. I want you to know, I love you, but as long as you fit in with my relationship with God. I love you, but don't ever think I'm going to enthrone you. Because I've got to have the flow of God. The flow doesn't come from a boy. The flow can't come from a girl. It can't come from money. It can't come from the work. It comes from enthroning God. I want to give him a throne room of praise. I want to give him a throne room of worship. I want to give him a throne room that's holy. Praise God. You know, was it Brother Marks that preached about Deborah? When I, a mother in Israel, stood up. You know how God gave Israel that victory. Deborah sings about it in her song. But Sisera tried to lure them down because he had these big old iron chariots. He tried to lure them down into the valley, the river valley of the Kishon or the Kishon. And it was an old river, an ancient river, the song of Deborah says. So it was more like a river bed. But there wasn't much water going on. But the Bible said, God caused it. When Deborah said the stars and their courses fought against Sisera, she tells us that it started raining. It started raining up in the mountains. It started raining up in the snowpack. It started melting the snowpack. And before it was over, a torrent ran down the face of that mountain and flooded out all those iron chariots. Iron chariots don't do good in a bayou, in a marsh. Then you need sea-dews, but Sisera's iron chariot. Before it was over, he got off his chariot and ran, and that's where he got the nail through his head. But God gave them a flow. And when the flow came, the enemy was vanquished. My God, when the devil's on your case and trouble's at your door, you really don't need to back off. You don't need to slack off. You don't need to say, well, I got trouble. I think I'll hold off and let Brother George worship tonight, or I'll let Sister Sally worship tonight. But no. More than ever, you need the flow of God in your life. When you've got the devil on your back, when you've got a Sisera coming down to take your home and to take your children, somebody needs to stand up and say, this is my house, these are my children, this is my life, and you're not going to take it. There's about to come a storm, and God's going to rain, and the floods are going to flow. Somebody say praise God. The devil doesn't do well when the Spirit of God is flowing. Clap your hands unto him and shout hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shake your neighbor and say, we got to have it. We've got to have a flow. More than anything. Is that how you do flow? Kind of looks like it, doesn't it? Jesus gave us a metaphor for the Gentile church. The Bible says, John chapter 4, he told his disciples, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. I'm going to Samaria. And that was strange because they were half-breeds and they didn't spend a lot of time with other cultures. Good Jews didn't. So he found this woman about midday. Jesus found a well and he sat down on the well, and the woman from Samaria came with her water bucket in her hand. And she had been trying everything. She's tried 6 men. She'd married 5 and shacked up with the other. And she was such a reproach culturally, she didn't draw water in the morning with the rest of the ladies. Not the good people. She was drawing water at midday when nobody was there. And as they began to talk, Jesus said, "Give me to drink." He was starting a conversation about water. He wasn't thirsty. He was the well. She said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan, to give you to drink?" He said, "If you knew who I was, boom, boom, and the gift of God, it just helps." That's why the prophet said, "I'm in such a foul mood. Bring me a musician." Read it in the story of the ditches. He said, "I hate this king of Israel so bad. If it weren't for the king of Judah, I wouldn't even look at you." He said, "Bring me some music." That's right. Very good. Just leave the drummer alone. Quit looking at the drummer. He's married. If you're a guest, they're married together. Yeah. He told the woman at the well, he said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was speaking to you, you'd ask of me, and I'd give you water. And that water that I would give you, it would be a well springing up within you into eternal life." He said, "You will never thirst again." So you see the shift in the New Testament. In the New Testament, where does the water flow from? John 7:37-39. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And John said, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. That they that believe on him should receive, but the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. But it'll be a well in you. It'll be a river in you. So all through the course of the church then, where does that river of living water come from? Where does the flow of God come from? Excellent academic, Mariah, Pate, leader of all the intellectuals at Clay Chalkville Middle School, winner of plethora of awards and certificates. And where is the water? Where's the well? Where's the river? Where's it come from? How is it going to get out in this place and run out into the city? How is it going to get on our visitors tonight? How is it going to get on your backslidden friends tonight? You have backslidden friends? How's it going to get on your friends? Where's it come from? Everybody say, out of my belly. Now, it really means your innermost person. Praise God. But it doesn't just come out of anybody. It comes from places where he is enthroned, where he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords and he's sovereign God and nothing else matters. Where he's enthroned in holiness and in righteousness and with passion. Praise God. Praise God. You know what our city needs? He's a Holy Ghost revival. I want all of our kids, I want all of our camper age kids to come down across the front. Now, if you're going to camp or if you're not, I mean our teenagers, all you little ones, I know how eager you are, but your camp's coming up at the end of the month. I want all of our camp age kids, if you're between the ages of 14 and 24, come line up here right now.
Here we come. Let's give God praise for these kids and what God is doing in their lives. Amos said, the young men and the fair virgins are fading for thirst. Now that's not happening here. Are you fainting for thirst? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Huh? Full of the Holy Ghost? Are you fainting for thirst? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? We can pray you through tonight if you're not. Praise God. You know, you're about to go down to camp. How many of you are going to camp this week? This week. You're going to go down to a camp. And there are going to be kids there that would feel like absolute aliens in this environment tonight. They don't know anything about it. They're more comfortable with their worldly friends than they are with their church buds. They're happy at secular events, and church is a drag and a bore for them because somebody hasn't built the construct. And when they see you at the very first service, at the very first note, they see you on your feet, down front, not back in the back holding hands with Sally. That's not where the river flows from. But when they see you down front, and as soon as that first chord is struck, you're on your feet and you go, wow! Let's try that. Let's just try that. Gentlemen? Yeah, we're going to work on that. But when they see you worshiping, they may not identify with you. They may not understand it, but they don't have to understand it. They don't have to know what's happening with you. They don't have to know who's enthroned in your heart. All they've got to do is be in the house. Because when you start worshiping and you start praising, the Holy Ghost river is going to begin to flow. It's going to move in the altar. It's going to move out in the pews. It's going to move on the preachers. It's going to move on the young people. By God, in the very first service, you're going to have kids getting the Holy Ghost that have never had it before. You're going to have kids praying back through to the Holy Ghost that have been hard and cold for a long time. Give your neighbor a high five and tell them, I'm going to be a fountain of living water. My God. Okay, now what we're going to do here is we're going to practice for camp, all right? We're going to practice for camp. Now you adults can practice where you are. Give us a little. All right. And guys, you just link up together and have yourself some worship here right now. And ladies, go ahead. Freestyle worship for the next minute and a half. And the old people can join in too if they like. Got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible said. Wait, stop. I just heard somebody that thought, what does this have to do with a moving of God? You never been anywhere and you don't know anything. This has everything to do with a move of God. Resume. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. All right. Now, I want all of you campers to go get an old person to worship with right now. I want all you kids to go get somebody out of the congregation to worship with right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Go get somebody, go get somebody, go get somebody. Oh, come on. All you kids in the pews still, go get somebody to worship with. Come on. Join in this. When I think of his goodness, all he's done for me, when I think of his goodness, how he set me free, I want to dance, dance. I want to dance all night, all night, all night, all night. When I think of his goodness, what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness and how he set me free, I want to shout, shout, oh, shout all night. Ah, come on, a river of living water. A well springing up into everlasting life. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. We still have a few people in the seats. We still have a few people in the seats. Go get them. Go get them and compel them to worship. Hey. I want to have a river of God. Hey. Come on. Come on, just a little bit more. Come on, bring your old people down in the altar. Bring those old people in the altar. This is how you don't die of thirst. This is how the young men don't faint. This is how the young ladies stay alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you're going. Get you some circles here. Come on, hook up an elbow. Get you some circles. Come on. Hey, somebody get a train. God's not dead, he's alive. God's not dead, he's alive. God's not dead, he's alive. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. Feel him all over me. Sing, God's not dead, he's alive. All right, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Does everything in the house have the Holy Ghost? Does everybody in the house have the Holy Ghost? All right. I want our campers to come right down in front here for this week. We're going to pray for you that you'll be an ambassador and an emissary. Come on down here. And I want somebody that believes God and loves God. Somebody with God enthroned in your life. I want one behind them and one in front of them. And I want you to lay hands on them and pray for them. That there be a light and a witness and a source and a fountainhead. We commission you in the name of the Lord to go and cause trouble for the devil, to go and make a way for revival. To be a conduit for another young man or young woman. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. I want you to sing this tonight, but I want you to sing it a little bit differently. I want you to say, flow through me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost flow through me. Because it's in you. Anointing. Flow. Anointing flow through me. Anointing flow through me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost flow through me. Anointing flow. Let's love him and praise him all over the house. Anointing. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him high praise. Flow through me. Anointing. Flow through me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost flow through me. Anointing. God bless you. So good to be with you in the house of the Lord. I love and appreciate our young people. How about the rest of you? New life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, if you did not get on my list this morning for camp, come by the office and get on my list and get a registration form and let me know who you are and how many. We're scheduled to leave at 7 o'clock Tuesday morning and look forward to seeing you there. Also, remember there's a ladies' prayer and lunch fellowship on Tuesday morning at 10:30. We're going to have the ladies are going to have an awesome time there. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight.